All right. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for having me. Like Pastor Chris was saying, it's been about 4 years since I've been here. I thank you for this opportunity to share with you what I've been doing with myself. And I want to thank Lizella for all of your prayers and support over the years. And I want to tonight I just want to share a little bit about my history, because many of you may not have been here for my last presentation, so I wanted to share who I am, where I come from, what I've been doing, and what I'm going to do in the future, some of my future plans. And I want to talk for a few minutes about me reaching a crossroads in my life, where I was just about to finish up my secondary schooling, and I was about to go out into the world. And I hit an intersection where I really was analyzing my life, my existence. Why am I here? What is my purpose of being here? And I wanted answers. And I didn't just want to, you know, be a part of the statistics, go out into the ranks and have no direction in life. So I really did a lot of meditating and thinking on the issue of my existence. And I came to the same conclusion that that Albert Einstein came to. Albert Einstein once made the statement, I want to know the thoughts of God. The rest are just mere details. That's what he said. Albert Einstein, being the master of statistics, probabilities, chance, reasoning, mathematical equations, I figured if Albert Einstein believes that there is a one God, a one creator, then he must be on to something, you know. And this notion that we just randomly evolved from, you know, a single-celled organism, or the chance that this magnificent human race and this magnificent planet and its perfect little solar system and ecosystem, all of this just evolved out of mere coincidence from space trash that gathered together, I finally rejected that. I said, you know, this is not the truth. We have a creator, we have a God, and that God has a purpose for us. He put all of this into order. And once I concluded that there is a God, I had to make a decision. Who is this God, and what is his purpose for me? Why am I here? So I meditated on that, and I thought about all the self-proclaimed prophets and religions in the world. You know, there's many self-proclaimed messiahs and prophets. Muhammad was one, Joseph Smith of the Mormon faith, Charles Russell, of the Jehovah's Witnesses, David Koresh of the Wacko from Waco. But all of these guys, they all claim to be the last prophet of God, and they all self-proclaim themselves as being that. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, was an exception to this group because he was never self-proclaimed. When people would ask Jesus Christ, "Who are you the Son of God?" he would humbly respond with a question, "Who do you say I am?" You know, his actions spoke much louder than words. So I concluded that, first of all, in Romans, in chapter 1, verse 20, I agreed with this statement. And Paul is speaking here. He says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So I decided, yes, God is real. His evidence is all around us. And then I wanted to know how do I reach this God? If, you know, and Jesus answers that question too. In John 14, chapter 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will come to the Father except through me." All right? We got it. There is a God, there is a creator, a one God, a one creator. To reach him, I need to go through his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the channel, okay? And then the final conclusion, or the final answer that I wanted was, what purpose does he have for my life? And I found that answer in Matthew 28, verse 19 through 20. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. So anyway, now I had the answers. I came to a conclusion. I meditated on this. I prayed. And once I began a conversation with Jesus Christ, my life changed and flipped completely upside down. And it was the best thing that ever happened in my life. Since I started a conversation with Jesus Christ, I've had my sins forgiven. I have direction for my life. I have a purpose. I found a God who loves me. He not only created me, but he loves me. And he loves me so much that he died for me. And that is my message to the entire planet. I am spreading that message to every country I go to, every person that I can. I'm spreading that message currently in Argentina with the prisoners that are in the federal penitentiary there and the provincial penitentiaries there. God, you have a creator who created you. He loves you. He has a purpose for his life, for your life. And to reach him, you need to go through his son, Jesus Christ. That's it. And so I want to share with you a little bit about my journey, and let's go ahead and get started. Before I get started with my journey, I got married not too long ago. Stand up, Natalia. This is my beautiful wife, Natalia. Thanks, baby. We met in Argentina, of course, and we met through friends of the church, and it took me a long time. Well, it took my whole life to find the right one, but I did it. So miracles are still happening. This is just a few of the wedding photos. I won't bore you with all 6,000 of them. But. Okay, I'm currently living and working in Rosario, Argentina. This is where my wife is from, and this is where I am doing ministry. And if you look up there on the map, you can see the dot. It's about 4 hours north of Buenos Aires in a bus. It's a beautiful city. It's on a river, very much like a Mississippi River Delta area. There's a large river that goes by our city. That's the bridge that crosses over to the Entre Rios, which is the land in between two rivers. And my brief history. I want to give you a little bit about my brief history before I go into what I've been doing in ministry. I was born in Arizona, but I didn't live there very long. I spent most of my life in Fayetteville, Georgia. I was there for 30 some odd years before I departed from the whole program and went off into the world. Yeah, I went to Georgia Southern University. I majored in building construction and contracting. When I got out of university, I built homes for quite a few years. And then 2008 happened, and home building came to a stop, and that's when I really began to see God's provision in my life. God provided me with an excellent job. I was working in Atlanta doing construction estimating. I was doing estimating on quantity and cost estimating on commercial construction projects, and during that time, one of my friends kept nagging me to go on a missions trip. So I went on my first missions trip to the Dominican Republic in 2005. Went together as a church group. So from beginning at that point, I would save up my vacation time and my money, and that was the time that I really looked forward to every year was going on missions trips. We went to the Dominican Republic. We were working on a Bible college there. Poured a lot of concrete. You're going to find out throughout my presentation that concrete has been a huge part of my life. This is the bucket brigade. This is where we pass buckets, you know, of concrete. We were pouring the second floor to a building. Second trip, 2006, I went to Colombia, Barranquilla, Colombia, which is on the coast. Of course, we flew into Bogota, and then we drove there in a car. Michael and Naomi are missionaries in Barranquilla. They are originally from Jonesboro, Georgia, and they have been missionaries in Colombia for almost, I don't know, 20 or 30 years now. We poured a lot of concrete. As you see, we had a lot of rebar work going on there, and we mixed the concrete right in the streets. And then that was a Bible school. That was a Bible school for the children and stuff. That was our delivery truck. This is just some random photos I thought were pretty. Uh, 2010, with my church, my home church in Fayetteville, we went to Belize in 2010, and we did a lot of ministries down there. and worked with the kids. We had a playground equipment shipped in. We shipped it out of Mobile, Alabama, and then had it shipped into, received it into Belize. We assembled that into the middle of the city. And we also helped one of the assistant pastors. We moved his house from the jungle to a better location. And he was happy to get out of that scorpion-infested jungle. We had the gospel message written on these Frisbees in their local language, of their native language of Quechi. Went back to Belize in 2011 and did more ministry. On that trip, we did a kids' summer Bible camp. There we're sharing the gospel message and doing ministries with the kids and whatnot. And then, let's see here. And we also poured a lot of concrete. This was out in the jungle, and this was going to serve as a, well, let's pause right there for just a moment. That was going to serve as a building, an assembly place, you know, for that community out in the jungle there. It's going to be a school, a church, everything. It's going to be a community building. At this time in my life, I had it, like I said, God's provision in my life was fantastic. You know, the residential construction industry folded up. All of us building contractors, we all scattered like rats looking for new work, looking for jobs. And God provided for me, found me the best job I ever had in my life. It was a great job, like I said, working in Atlanta. I had my real quiet environment, office environment. Had a lot of, as I was working, looking at blueprints all day, I had a lot of time to meditate on my life. I did that. I worked that job for 4 years. And I started to analyze my life again, and I was like, I kept thinking to myself, do I really want to do this for the rest of my life? Is there anything more to life than this? And I started praying about it, and then God was showing me that the only real time that I was happy in my life was the two weeks every year that I went on missions trips. And missions became really my favorite time of the year. I mean, I just went through the motions the rest of the year just so I could get to the missions trip, you know. So one day, I believe I was at work, and I just sent up a little prayer, and I said, God, you know, if I don't know how, what, or when. I don't know how it's possible. I don't know where to go through or whatever. But if you want to use me for full-time missions, all I can say is that I will go. And let me tell you, when it comes to God and your willingness to get plugged into God's plan, it has nothing to do with your ability, and it has everything to do with your availability. And God answered in a mighty way, changed everything in my life again. And it was the greatest thing. I'm currently, well, obviously, I made the step to go into full-time missions. God put some strategic people in my life. Originally, I was working through a missions agency out of Tyrone, Georgia, which is called OM International. You may have heard of them. They've been around for 50-some-odd years. Some friends that I met through the church were immediately plugged into my life that worked for OM International. I went with OM International for 5 years. I was with them. It was a great experience, life-changing experience. Now I'm with a Baptist sending agency out of Houston, Texas. It's a better fit for me. But this was the beginning of my big leap of faith. We can go ahead and let it roll again. So people in my business were getting laid off. The layoffs were coming. Business was getting slow. I got laid off, and I was ready for it, and it was God's big foot in my rear end to get me out into missions. So I went into missions. I went to South Africa for missions training. It's kind of funny. God does have a sense of humor. When I first prayed to go into missions, I said, God, you know, just use me wherever. Just please don't send me to Africa. And you know how it works. Well, I ended up in Africa. Ended up in Gazankulu. We did some ministries there. This was an area of refugees. People coming in from surrounding countries. There was people who fled from other countries, survived the journey through the Kruger National Park, and ended up congregating in this place called Gazankulu. That's where we went, and there was just a whole bunch of different countries and nationalities that ended up there. And this is where we worked for quite a while. There was a lot of people that we shared the gospel with. We had some Bibles in their native language, Bemba and Zulu. And did a lot of ministries with them, and a lot of these individuals they just came out of everywhere, and many of them had never heard the name Jesus Christ, not once in their life, had no concept of who their God was. I was invited to share the gospel message with the public schools there. Went to the elementary schools. They welcomed us with open arms, and we distributed Christian literature and whatnot. And over there in Africa, I tell you, it just seems like there's a child behind every blade of grass, you know. Especially if you just kick a soccer ball down the road, I mean, the kids, like millions of kids come out of everywhere, you know. Those guys had never heard the gospel. I gave them Bibles and shared the gospel message with them. Went to Argentina after that, to 2013 and 14. This was originally my first choice for a missions field, and that was something that God laid into my heart. So I went through Africa to get there. Finally ended up in Argentina, and it was an excellent journey as well. A lot, as you can imagine, you know, a country boy coming from Fayetteville is quite a culture shock. 20 million people in one city. They drink mate. These are some of the common sights that you will see in Argentina. Mate is a bitter herbal tea that they drink. They drink it hot, and they share it. You know, it's a very sociable. They're very sociable people. If you go to visit someone's house, they drink mate and they pass the cup to everyone around the room and stuff. And yeah, they all drink from the same straw. So trust me, there's much worse in the world. I've experienced much worse. This is the Argentina barbecue, the asado, and then they eat just about every part of the cow, and it's great. I can vouch for that. That's something that, you know, we can definitely incorporate over here. It would go over quite well. Yeah, I could look at these pictures all night. They do, you know, Argentina is a beef capital of the world. You know, they have the best beef in the world, all natural, grass fed, and everything. Worked among the Mapuche Indians. These are still a native Indian tribe or people group that are in Argentina, and I worked through Campus Crusades for Christ. We were doing an outreach with the Mapuche Indians. While we were there, we were doing social projects, ministries, evangelism, so on and so forth. Very nice people, very quiet. We did some construction projects there. We were doing that's a church building. We were building a church building there for these people, another congregation place. This is a kind of a typical Argentina cowboy, a gaucho. They even let me ride their horse. I couldn't figure out how to make them go in reverse. But English Talk was a ministry that we did among the youth in Buenos Aires. There were most of the youth in Buenos Aires is atheistic. Not in a militant, angry sort of way, but just they don't believe in anything. So we just went out on the streets and invited people to come into the church on Friday nights, and we came in and practiced English and shared the gospel message with them. Train Tracks was another ministry that we started. There's millions, and literally millions of people that go through the train stations every day all throughout Argentina, and that's the main form of travel, the subways and the trains, and we passed out gospel tracts and literature. This is Constitución. This is the biggest train station in Buenos Aires. An estimated 3 million people go through this train station every day. And there's 20 million people in the entire country of Argentina, and like I said, half of that population is in one city, Buenos Aires. And I really love this ministry, and we passed out I don't know how many thousands of gospel tracts, and people read them. I never saw anybody ever throw one away. This is the beginning of my experience with prison ministry. I worked in the prison in Buenos Aires. It was right across the street from the airport. So they would catch the drug traffickers at the airport and send them right across the street to the prison. They didn't have anyone to do English ministry in the one pavilion, the one cell block that had international drug traffickers. And I got plugged into that ministry, and it was just awesome. I mean, I loved it. And 90% of those international drug traffickers that were in that cell block were South Africans. And I had just left South Africa, so I had an instant connection with these guys. This is another project that we worked with, another outreach to the north in Tucumán and Cafayate. We did some social projects up there. This is a very poor region of Argentina in the north. once again, I believe this was a Campus Crusades for Christ that we were partnering with on this project. These shrines and idols you'll see all along the highways and interstates all throughout the whole country. Some of these are shrines to Mary, you know, from the Catholic influence. They have idols to Mary, and some of these are just other spirits and stuff that they've decided to make shrines to. While I was there, I struck up some friendships and with random people. These guys were plumbers, and my background is construction, so I love learning their techniques for plumbing and working with these guys, and it was really interesting. This was among some of the projects that we did up there. The Gideon's International has been a huge part of my life. I've been a member of the Gideon's International for about 12 or 13 years now. That's how I met Steve and Sharon Widener, is through the Gideon's. And because of my, honestly, God just made it happen. But while I was in Buenos Aires, God connected me directly and instantly with the Gideon's International, with the main coordinator for all of Buenos Aires. And because of that, there was a Bible distribution that we were doing in Buenos Aires and also Rosario. And I worked with these Gideons. They flew in from all over the world. And my missions team from OM International, we partnered with them. We translated for them. We participated with logistics and transportation with these guys and participated in the Bible distributions. We distributed 500,000 Bibles, 500,000 Bibles in 2 weeks. And we were invited to go into the schools, the universities, the military bases, the fire departments. We went everywhere. And it was just awesome. And there was a lot of these students and youth that had questions about God and existence and all that, all the questions that I had. And this was really, really a blessing. And these Bibles were hung up in customs. Just to show you what a miracle it was that God did all this, these Bibles were hung up in customs for more than 2 years. And because of taxes and all the red tape and bureaucracy, to get these Bibles through customs without being taxed, it took 2 years. I show up, the Bibles are through customs, the blitz is happening, we did the Bible blitz, and my team was all a part of it, and God made it all happen, and it was fantastic. And while I was in Argentina, the first time I poured a lot of concrete. Sometimes I swear that when I'm dead, they're going to bury me with one of those concrete mixing machines, you know. But either that or St. Peter's going to be waiting for me with one of those machines at the gate, you know. But I did some volunteer work at the orphanage and children's homes in Buenos Aires as well. This is some volunteer work. I was hanging out with the guys from my church. We did social projects there at the children's home. I loved that ministry as well. There's a lot of orphans all throughout South America. I've been to Honduras. This is some of the children that I worked with. And this was a Baptist children's orphanage. They did a great work with these kids. My main role was just to spend time with those kids and help them do their homework and stuff like that. Went back to Africa in 2015. God was not finished with me in Africa. There was still another chapter in my life. So this time I went back to Zambia in 2015, and this was an experience. This was not an easy experience. It was the most difficult experience I've ever had in missions. God never said it was going to be easy, but even though it was difficult, I loved every minute of it. Worked in Kabwe, Zambia. This is the number 8th most polluted region on planet Earth, according to the World Health Organization. A lot of political dignitaries have even drawn attention to it. Those are mountains of lead and zinc that have been dug up out of the ground. There are mountains of lead and zinc surrounding that area that have been mined up. And as you can imagine, that dust blows right across the whole region. There's a lot of birth defects because of that. A lot of toxins in the water. The groundwater is polluted. This is the typical food. Anchovies and cornmeal puree is what the Zambians will spend their entire lives eating, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. This is OM International. This was our missions base. As God would have it, their construction manager had just completed his tour of duty and gone back to England, and they had no one to finish these construction projects. So I slid right into this. This was my construction team. me and my team working together, we finished all the projects that needed to be finished in at OM International in Zambia. This was my war wagon. This is my work truck. I was fortunate enough to find this old beater, and it served me quite well. I could throw all my construction tools in the back, and we'd go to work every day. The highway that goes through there goes all the way from Cairo, from Cape Town, South Africa, all the way up to Cairo, Egypt. So I got a motorcycle to get around the traffic. Thank God for this motorcycle. I think every missionary in that town had owned that motorcycle for the last 15 years. Had some fond memories of that, because when the traffic got real bad in that city with all the trucks and 18-wheelers and all that stuff, I could go do my work and everything. We conducted Bible study with my construction workers every morning. Many of those guys would float in and float out. You know, they worked there temporarily, and some of them were not Christians. Some of them became Christians. Some of them got baptized while we were there, which was fantastic. And among the Africans in every region, there's a lot of superstitions, a lot of darkness, a lot of spiritual heaviness there. We poured a lot of concrete while I was there. And while I was there, we did all kinds of random construction projects. And that's just me. This is just some random photos of me finishing up some projects. Put in a drain line, some septic tanks. That ground out there was hard as a rock. Zambia only receives 2 months of rain out of every year. And the other 10 months, not a drop. So that ground is hard as concrete. And while I was there, they didn't have a good rainy season for the last couple of years. So water is just liquid gold. I mean, if you can find it, it's the most precious thing in Zambia. And because we did not have water, the lakes were not full, we did not have hydroelectric power, we were on less than half days of electricity while I was in Zambia, if we were lucky to have that. Project Mkwati, Mkwati was a region, a very poor slum area, that really there was just nothing there but people living in shacks. The only thing even close was a military base right across the highway. The military personnel were the only ones that had any money, so the military guys would come into the slum area and spend their money on booze and prostitutes. So it was a very dark atmosphere in Mkwati, and OM International sponsored the construction of a church building. This is going to be a church and also a schoolhouse for these children. And my guys and I, we built that while we were there. That was my last project in Zambia. Nice little concrete schoolhouse, nice little building. It'll be there long after I'm dead and gone, I hope. That was me trying to design trusses. We didn't have any plans, but then again, we didn't have any building inspectors either. So that was kind of nice. I actually went on the internet. I'm on my phone on the internet how to design trusses. You know, I'm drawing them out on pieces of paper, and my guys did a great job putting those together. And that's one of my workers, Matthews. Most of the time, all you can see is his white teeth. Super nice guy. I love that guy. He always had a smile on his face. This is just some of the finishing photos here. This is our finishing of the project. What's that? Well, it was hit and miss. I mean, if we were fortunate enough to have electricity and an internet signal from a cell tower at the same time, I could get on my phone and do some work. So yeah, it was hit and miss. It was either the internet was up and the electricity was out, or vice versa, but. Every now and then we got it together. That was the last photo of our project. After I finished this, I was really called back to Argentina. I fell in love with Argentina. I was really missing Argentina the whole time that I was in Zambia. I missed the culture, missed the people. Now I'm in Rosario, the city of Rosario. One of our church ministries is a Jabez ministry. I was working with the homeless guys from the streets, a lot of alcoholics and druggies and stuff like that. They would come in and get showered, get cleaned up. And Recently, I was working with a church doing some construction projects in a slum area. A lot of people have, a lot of poor families and individuals have flooded into our region because the northern regions don't have industry or work, so they're coming into Rosario, and they're just setting up camp anywhere, you know, and tents and shacks and stuff. So the city, you know, they decided to try to help these people out by providing them building materials, and they build their own house. It's like, here's the materials, you build it. So I was helping out with my church group. We were helping these people build their houses, you know, and get a roof over their head. And it was a really good project. It's still ongoing. That's another delivery truck there. You still see these occasionally throughout Argentina. And right now, like I said, I'm working with in prison ministry in the Santa Fe Provincial Penitentiary. We have 10 cell blocks in the prison that I'm working in, and it's really amazing. I'm gonna pause pretty soon. I'm gonna pause it right here. Teddy, this guy's name is Teddy Ravello. Okay, 30 years ago, in Argentina, in this province, in the Santa Fe province, we were averaging 3 to 4 homicides every day inside of the prisons. And Teddy Ravello approached the city councils and the powers that be and said, "Hey, your situation's horrible. I'm a Christian. I want to start a ministry. Will you allow me to start churches inside the prisons?" So that's what they did. They were like, "Yeah, anything's better than our current situation. Come on in." So that's what he did. They turned one of the cell blocks into a church. And there's 3 provincial penitentiaries in our province, and each one of them has a designated church inside of the penitentiary. And in the one I work in, there's 10 different cell blocks, and all of them are now holding praise and worship services 3 times every day and doing Bible studies at least twice a day. And there's only 2 cell blocks that are not Christian. So the entire prison system has transformed because of this man and God's calling on this man's life. I am now a part of working with this ministry, with these guys. We have a group of about 20 or 30 pastors, and that's what I'm devoting a majority of my time to right now. And I love it. It's my favorite ministry. In my opinion, it's one of the most productive ministries. And I have tremendous job security because of the crime and the economic situation right now. We have a high turnover. So we got new guys coming in every day. So, I mean, all I have to do is just show up to work, and there's new faces, you know. And you can go ahead and let it roll again. So I love these guys. I meet with these guys, and we do Bible studies. My mother goes to a Spanish church in Fayetteville. And she passes her Bible study books on to me. I take those books down there. We do Bible studies down there. And now those guys are taking my books when I'm finished, and they're doing Bible studies with the other pavilions and the other cell blocks. Horacio is a guy that I work with. He was formerly an inmate, and now he's out. He's free. He's been clean for many years. Good member of society, and he does ministry with me. I get a discount on the Bibles. I get my Bibles through the Argentina Bible Society. These are great Bibles. I get a discount. I get these for dirt cheap, and I've now become the go-to man for Bible distribution in the penitentiaries, and I love it. I got guys walking up to me, calling me by name. I don't even know who they are, and they just ask me for Bibles and stuff. I love distributing Bibles, and this is one of our praise and worship services that we do in the morning, and did have a short video, but I don't think it's going to function on my presentation here. So this is where I'm. This is the end. So thank you very much. I did not post my contact information, but if you are interested in receiving my newsletter or anything, please come up and talk to me. I'll give you my email address, and we'll get you plugged into my newsletters. And once again, thank you so much for your prayers and support. Thank you for having me tonight. I hope to be back. And like I said, my message to the whole world is: God loves you, He created you, and He has a wonderful plan and purpose for your life, and we can be connected to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, who gave it all for us. Amen.
1 Thank you, Jason. That's the real deal right there. There's a man that raises every penny of support that he gets. He's not funded by some large mission organization. He's sponsored by one, but not funded by one, but he raises his own support. And so I want to ask you tonight, he didn't put, which is very unusual for any missionary that's ever spoken here, he didn't put any contact information to ask you to donate to his ministry. He only wants you to receive a newsletter if you want one, but I want to invite you to do something even further than that tonight. If you would partner to pray with him, if you would put him on your prayer list and pray for he and Natty Daly, it would mean the world to them. But I also want to challenge you, if you feel led to help sponsor his ministry tonight, I talked to Tammy, and we like to support missionaries. It's one of the things that we enjoy doing. And sometimes we have a misunderstanding in thinking, well, I've got to sponsor $100 a month or $200 a month. We're going to sponsor, the Lord laid on my heart, we're going to sponsor $40 a month for the next 2 years. And I want to challenge you, even if it's $20 a year, it's $30 a year, every dollar adds up. And you listen, he could stay here in Fayetteville, and he could make $100,000, $150,000 a year doing construction management. But he chooses to serve God on the mission field. And I'm thrilled at what God's doing in your heart and in your life. And so if you want to partner with him, find him after the service. You want to stand in the foyer, you and Natty, because I know people would love to be able to meet with y'all. We've got quarterly conference tonight, so we'll start that in about 10 minutes. I want to give you an opportunity to catch up with Jason. And he'll be leaving tomorrow, flying out to Argentina tomorrow. So how many of you will be praying for him tomorrow? Jason, look around at all these hands that are lifted tonight, people that are going to be lifting you up in prayer for safety tomorrow and for just fruitful, productive days on the mission field. And thank you for what you do. I'm thankful to lock arms with you, and I'm thankful to be on your team. Thankful that you followed Jesus and made that decision firm and concrete. But you partner with him tonight through prayer, finances, if it's something the Lord's laid on your heart to do that. He'll give you information on how you can keep up with him and invest in his ministry in any way that you see fit. But you guys go stand in the foyer. We'll start conference in about 10. It's 5 minutes till 7, so about 5 after 10 after 7. I want to give you all a chance to catch up with Jason and Natalie. Thank you so much for being here tonight. If you're visiting and don't want to stay for conference, no hard feelings. Feel free to slip out. But if you want to stay around, we'll start in somewhere 10, 15-minute region. Thank you.